Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Mark Potash, and he's Jason Leisure. Welcome to Hallis Intrigue, the Chicago Bears podcast, where guys, coming up, we will make our predictions for the Bears-Eagles game. We'll talk about what we could possibly learn in a game between one of the league's worst and probably the league's best team, and we will break down what's going on with Justin Fields. All that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, the Bears are back off of their bye, and we are too. What did you do on the bye?
Housework.
Okay. What was the most interesting of the houseworks?
Vacuuming.
Do you like vacuuming?
No.
Potsy, do you like vacuuming?
I love it.
Do you really?
Yeah, because I love seeing things get clean.
Really?
I'm kind of OCD about things like that.
I know that he does an interesting thing. He takes a picture of the room before he cleans it.
You do it before and after?
And not,
just
and
to see, yeah.
Just for his own just for his own interest.
Yeah, he doesn't
go around and like show the other people in his family and be like, see what a pigsty this was and see what I did. Like Sometimes you do use that for shaming?
I don't know. I can't remember. I don't know why we're talking about
it. I think social shaming is something that's lost in today's society. I like shaming. I try and do it with my kid and it doesn't.
You're coming out pro-shaming.
Yeah, I try and shame my kid into you should be disappointed in yourself that it's this dirty. It doesn't work, but I think it's a good concept.
There are times when my kids don't smell the best, and I'm like, this feels like something the other children should take care of. You know? Just a little bit of mocking, and this would solve this problem real quick.
Like when you have a little spinach in your teeth. You expect somebody to say.
Right.
The Eagles have the number one scoring offense in the NFL.
We can talk about that.
This is going to be about vacuuming.
This is a very interesting couple of weeks for the Bears because they're playing like maybe the two teams that'll be in the Super Bowl. And Alan Williams, the defensive coordinator, was saying today, Mark, you were asking him about the Eagles' offense, and he said very genuinely, I don't think they have a weakness.
That's bad news for a Bears defense.
That has a thousand of them.
Well, during the Bears' losing streak, Bears have lost six in a row now. They've given up more points than anybody else in football during that span, which is amazing considering that they've played one fewer game than a couple of teams during that span. So this Bears defense coming maybe at a low point in their season against an offense that's maybe the best in football.
Yeah, and I think Alan Williams saying that they're balanced all on both sides of the ball in every facet. Like, they have a really good pass rush, and yet they're not really among the leaders in sacks, but they still have a really good pass rush. I mean, they have a good running attack, but they're not among the league, like even in the top 10 in rushing. But
the individuals you're talking about.
Right.
As a team, their
passing numbers are much better than their rushing numbers.
Okay, that's right.
So what I'm saying is they're kind of stealthily, is that a word?
Sure.
Yeah.
Balanced. In other words, it's not like some teams, like you see the Patriots or the Chiefs, they're number one in everything or whatever. They're a tough team to. I think the point is they're a tough team to prepare for. They're a tough team for the Bears to play, especially this defense. The way that, you know, the way the Bears are going. The Eagles have averaged what I think I had the number, but they scored 45, 40, and 49, something. They're averaging like almost 40 points a game in their last three games. The Bears are giving up a lot of points. It's going to be a tough chore for a defense that has really been challenged. You know, the Bears' passing percentage allowed is this year?
Passer rating?
Allowed? No, passer percentage.
Completion
percentage.
Okay, yeah.
66.6.
That's two-thirds, Potsy, last I checked.
Jeez. Yeah, yeah.
And Jason, also the Eagles scored 29 point something points per game, which is the most in the NFL.
They do everything well.
They want. Yeah. I look at them as the offense that the Bears want to be when they grow up.
Man, the first thing you think of is beyond the quarterbacks, and they have obvious similarities. I think they're 1-2 in quarterback rushing in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that offensive line.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing Ryan Poles is going to be just salivating over during this game is like, look. And that's Philly. This is what they were when they won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles and Carson Wentz before that. Like, two guys that have not really been great quarterbacks otherwise. They had very good defense, but on offense, they had an incredible offensive line and a great running game.
And that's it's a good point for one thing. It's you know, we've always done the template thing with the Rams. It was the Rams when Nagy was here, right? That never came. That did not come to fruition.
By the way, that barely came to fruition for the Rams. All right.
Anyway, right. Well, yeah, but at least it did, eventually did. But anyway, and with all due respect, I think it's a tough template to follow to ask to ask the Bears to follow this, because for their very reason, they have a great offensive line and they have remnants of a Super Bowl winning team. They did not build from the ground up. They right. two, you know, I think it's Lane Johnson and Kelsey, the center,
Jason Kelsey.
Jason, they have two starters on their offensive line who actually won a Super Bowl. They have had one of the best offensive lines in football. The Bears are totally rebuilding and aren't even. Here's an interesting. This is a little sidetrack. In the last 3 weeks, I've heard two things about the Bears. I've heard they need to totally revamp their offensive line, and I've also heard great things about Alex Leatherwood, about Braxton Jones, about Sam Mustipher, about Tevin Jenkins, about every Bears offensive lineman as if they were keepers. So those are two like totally opposite things. Which way do they have to go? And my general point is this. The Bears don't have the offensive line to really even make that comparison or to even say this is what they have to do. The only good thing is, from a Bears standpoint, is that this is what that's supposed to be Poles' baby, right? The offensive line.
In theory,
So far, I don't know, right?
Right.
I mean... Right. Braxton Jones, good.
He's fine.
But, he's fine. Yeah.
But good. But, you know, he's good for a fifth-round pick. Like I said, he needs to be good.
Right.
Yeah, just straight up good, or else you need somebody else.
So he's not there yet. But the question, that is the one thing, like Ryan Poles has offensive line expertise. He's got an offseason to get it right.
Yeah, I will say this, though. I think the way the Eagles built their roster, whether you want to call it a rebuild or a build, is instructive in that, you know, they traded down in the draft a couple of times. You know, they drafted Devontae Smith, who is their second best wide receiver. They traded for a number one receiver in A.J. Brown. Yep. A.J. Brown, they gave him $100 million. Dollars. A.J. Brown is not Chase Claypool. A.J. Brown is a legitimate star to put next to your quarterback who needed to take the next step in the pass games in particular. And he's done just that. Jalen Hurts leads the league in passer rating.
Yeah, I agree 100%, especially with the wide receiver point is obviously excellent, because if you look at some of the top passers, they've all gotten better. This goes back to that point, you have to learn how to win. Well, you know, a good receiver makes a better quarterback. That's a better way how you win. And they have done that. So you're right. Following that is absolutely right. And being balanced and all that. I just think their starting point makes it really, really tough to just say, here's what we want to do, and just follow that.
Jason, what's amazing to me is that the Eagles are going to have a draft pick that's not going to be that far away from the Bears draft pick.
Fourth, I think, as of right now.
Right, by virtue of a trade they made with the Saints this offseason. So this, as opposed to the Rams, you know, we talked about that Rams template, this seems to be something that can sustain itself if you keep injecting young talent, and they're going to have an opportunity to. They have that extra first this year plus their own, and then an extra third next year.
And the quarterback is good. He's young. Jalen Hurts is, I think, the front runner right now to win MVP. These next 2 weeks, though, you will not find any part of the schedule where the Bears are more outmanned personnel-wise than these next 2 weeks. Yet, I would say these are going to be interesting games to watch nonetheless because Justin Fields going against these teams, going against these defenses, and even though he doesn't ever, he always pushes back on looking at it this way, matching up with the other team's quarterback in terms of trying to keep up with the other team's quarterback, that's going to be good theater. That is going to show you a little bit about where he's at, but I think really it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And there was a scare with Justin Fields. A scare is too strong of a word. Some concern maybe when he missed Wednesday's practice with illness. But he's back Thursday, and the Bears have downplayed this all along. Matt Eberflus really doesn't usually tip his hand any whatsoever about any of this. But he said from the start they were expecting that he would play against the Eagles, and there's no reason to expect anything different as of right now.
Yeah, no, there's not. What's interesting to me, though, is that you talk about this wealth of talent that Jalen Hurts has around him. Dallas Goedert, they're really good tight end, could come back on Sunday. They took him off of IR or opened that 21-day window on Monday. So he's going to have Dallas Goedert, two really good receivers, Miles Sanders, who's an okay running back, and Justin Fields is going to have David Montgomery and Cole Kmet, and maybe that's it. Because as we sit here right now, Chase Claypool's knee has prevented him from practicing the last 2 days. And without him as their kind of, I guess he's a nominal number one receiver, even though his numbers don't show that. I mean, we're back to kind of where we started, if not worse.
Worse.
In the pass catcher realm. I mean, I think you could argue that Kmet is better now than he was at the start of the season. But beyond that, you're minus Mooney. And now you're, I mean, who in the world are you going to throw the ball to?
The Claypool thing is really just a thud, I think, for Bears fans, Mark, because you look at like a whole, and it's a month and a half in. Like, he might have a very long career with the Bears, and it might go very differently than it has so far. But you look at a whole season where it's like, if you're a Bears fan watching, everybody's leaving. All the exciting people are out the door, and then out of nowhere, they bring in this guy. They bring someone in that you know, that you've heard of, that not just because he played at Notre Dame, but because he had two really good seasons with the Steelers. He's a really impressive player, and everyone's so excited, and then nothing. Then it's just thud. There's been so little from Chase Claypool.
I think it's fair to call it a disappointment, because the biggest reason to make that trade was that Ryan Poles isn't going to just sit still with the wide receiver situation. He's going to make it better. But it was also, I think, to get production this year. I think that, yeah. I mean, he had to know that pick he gave up was going to be a pretty high pick.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Would you trade the number 33 or 34 pick in the draft for Chase Claypool in the offseason?
No.
Or would you take your chances with the best wide receiver you can get at that pick? I mean,
no, I don't think you'd
make the deal. Right. So the only reason to do it was to get production now, or to get him acclimated in theory to the offense now for a payoff later. But the point, I guess, my point is that they're not getting enough bang for their buck.
Yeah, so far it's about 100 yards on 12 catches.
And now all we're hearing is how complicated the offense is. And I'll be honest, I can't remember exactly what I was told, but the explanations, the rationalizations for why he hasn't been, why Claypool has not been as productive, it just sounds, I don't buy it. It sounds like this guy's not as good. It sounds like this guy's not as good as we thought.
Well,
that's my analysis.
And Matt Eberflus had said earlier in this week that he kind of wasn't as far along as they had hoped. You know, he said it far more gracefully than that. But then Luke Getsy, talking Thursday, said, no, he knows what he needs to know. Getsy goes out of his way to say, The wide receiver room has it the hardest of any other position group in terms of learning the playbook, because all their receivers play all the receiver positions.
Well, then why'd you get them at midseason?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
That seems kind of productive.
But furthermore, Mark, there's always going to be, until Chase Claypool really shows you something, there's going to be this underlying concern of, why was he available? Why was he available from a respected organization that usually gets these things right?
Right, yeah.
That is rebuilding and needs help at that position. They were willing to essentially get a refund.
That's a good point.
Chase Claypool by getting back basically the pick that they had given up to get him.
Yeah, that sounds like one of those things where it didn't do quite as much homework. I mean, I'm sure they did their due diligence, but sometimes you can do that and still not know everything you need to know. And I'm not saying he won't, like you said, he could be great, and maybe it just takes time. All I'm saying is the early indications are, this is not the move that it's not going to work out as well as he had hoped.
It's been quite a bit of time already.
Yeah, but Ryan Poles said when they made the trade that this was a reflection of what the free agent pool was going to be this offseason.
Right.
That they essentially didn't have anybody they loved in free agency that they saw as good as Claypool. I think Jacoby Myers, probably the number one receiver. What, Juju Smith-Schuster, something like that. And there are always surprises. Maybe guys get there. Or maybe, you know, we have an A.J. Brown situation where there's a really good wide receiver on another team that decides that they want to get traded. And maybe the
always a possibility with wide receivers.
I mean, it's kind of the NBA model is you keep as much cap space as you can and hope somebody else's star gets angry. But yeah, he would rather have this than what was ever behind door number two. But I mean, I don't see it.
It's hard. I mean, who at this time, who knew that Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, and A.J. Brown would be available? So at this time last year, who knew? So you're right. It's a good point. You do have to be prepared. But I get the point, and I get the argument that free agency wise, it doesn't look like there will be a lot. So it can still work out. But boy, it just shows you how desperate the Bears are to get a number one wide receiver.
Yeah, or I mean, I think they have what two twos right now, a two and
a three. I mean, I think even if Claypool was playing like he did his first two seasons in Pittsburgh, it's not enough. Him and Mooney is not enough.
No.
That doesn't stack up with what you saw in the Super Bowl last year with the Bengals and the Rams.
No, it doesn't. Justin Fields said that the last game he played against the Packers was, he thought, maybe the best passing day of his career. I'm not sure that I buy that, given that he threw no touchdowns and two interceptions. But he sure looked comfortable in a way that I'm not sure we'd seen this season.
it's a low bar for best passing game of his career. He's played 20, he's had 25 starts or something like that, and not a lot of great passing performances in there. I mean, before, other than the picks, he was 20 of 23, 250 yards. You'd love that.
Right.
But you don't get to look at any game and say, other than the picks. Right. He's in a stage right now where he will get a little bit of that.
Right.
Where you'll be able to say, hey, this was good from the game, this was bad from the game. But, like, Jalen Hurts isn't being evaluated like that.
No.
Jalen Hurts is in year three, mm-hmm. and he plays well or he plays poorly.
Right.
And that's it. He either is he's either why they won, why they lost, whatever. Like, he's either playing good games or bad. There's not any of this, like, you know, kind of a sifting through it and saying, okay, here was good, here was bad. Like, right. eventually, you know, we're not applying those developmental standards to Justin Fields.
No. And, you know, Jalen Hurts, that's why he's going to be the MVP of the league, because they've lost one game this season.
But I think from a developmental standpoint, I think that's significant that Justin Fields himself feels like here's a guy who's thrown three touchdowns in a game before. Not a lot of passing yards, not a lot of completions. I can't even remember who it was against, to tell you the truth. You guys recall?
Three?
The three he threw three. Miami?
He had two against the Niners, I believe, in the Rams.
Well, he had three. Well, anyway, but the point being, he's had a game where he's thrown three touchdowns in a game, and he felt, and I agree that he just looked more comfortable. Looked like it was more of a regular big boy passing attack, even though it didn't. You know, it was, you know, obviously the interceptions. But looking in the final 4 weeks, I think it'll be interesting to see if he can. Take that to another level, especially, like we say, against these defenses. I think it's going to be really interesting to watch, because the Bears have been in these situations, they've gotten totally blown out.
Sure.
We've seen bad Bear teams get totally blown out. I think it's significant if the Bears at least show something in these next two games, especially, and all four opponents are actually pretty good now. So with the Lions on a roll, and who knows what the Vikings will have at stake in week 18. But I think, when you're talking about Justin Fields, I think it's going to be really interesting to see if he can build on what he thinks.
Right.
Because at this point, how he feels, I think is pretty important. Because
sure.
Just because they're in such a developmental stage, and so I think it'll be interesting to see how he does.
I think the difference between these next two games against the Eagles and the Bills, and the final two against the Lions and the Vikings, is that the Eagles and Bills can play defense. You know, the Vikings have the worst defense mm-hmm. in football. The Lions are up there too. You know, there could be a false positive if Justin
right.
Fields plays well against either of those two teams. I want to see what he does against a defense that is a step up in talent from one that from almost any that they played, what, since the Cowboys, probably?
Yeah. That's really all I want to see, Mark.
Right.
I've given up on their defense at this point. I mean,
yeah,
if they play the Eagles and the Bills and lose those games 50-30, okay, pretty good day, all right. I guess if Justin Fields gets him to 30, then that against those defenses, that works for me at this point.
Yeah, I think the focus is on the offense. I think the defense is going to be an off-season area of improvement. Let's put it that way. They just have so much work they have to do there that I don't think it's all of a sudden going to click. I think they'll be better. I think especially with Brisker and Gordon back, and those, you know, those are, you know, they're not great players yet, but I think they're better than what they had. And I think they'll show some improvement. But I think for this defense to get to where they wanted to go, the whole hits principle thing with taking the ball away, you know, rushing the passer with four down linemen, I'll be surprised if we see that kind of thing all of a sudden click in the last four games.
That's the other thing I find compelling about the Eagles, is that they run the Bears stuff. You know, Jonathan Gannon comes from the same school
right.
as Matt Eberflus. They work together, and I think on Sunday you will see an A or A-minus version of how to run that stuff, and probably a C-minus or D-plus version of how to run that stuff. Jason, what was the score you just offered up? 50-30?
50-30. If you get the Bears, it almost doesn't matter what the other score is. If the
sure.
Bears are scoring 30 against the Eagles and the Bills, those are good days for the Bears, no matter what the other number is.
That is
as long as they're not getting the 30 after they've given up the 50. Because
as long as it's not like empty,
yeah,
an empty
yeah,
30
it's
points.
Got, it's yeah. got to mean something.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
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 Those scores, watch this, very seamless transition, by the way. That score, Jason, is not that different than the scores that we have all predicted in our Bears-Eagles picks.
I'm titillated, Pet.
All six of the Sun-Times experts have picked the Eagles by varying degrees of blowoutedness. Posse, you've got them 31-17, Jason 41-33.
No, that's not right. There's no way I said that.
Maybe I have a typo. Maybe it's
41-23.
Maybe it's 41-23. And I have them 44-25. I think we're all thinking the same thing, which is that this defense is going to be lucky to hang on. And, you know, I think yards per play during their losing streak, almost 6.5 yards per play the Bears have given up. It's really hard to force a punt of any sort when you're doing that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think bad weather is going to be the probably the reason why I think I went with a little lower total than everybody else, and that might be part of the best part of the Bears' defense on Sunday. I'm not sure exactly how bad it's going to be, but not supposed to be great. But yeah, it's like I said, it's a daunting it's a daunting challenge, but. I still think there's something to get out of it. I think it'll be interesting to see that just how well they can play these good two good teams. So still something to watch this season. We're a lot better off than we were a year ago.
Is that a good reflection, Jason, of Eberflus and his staff? You know, we saw them coming out of the mini bye make some adjustments that led to a win, but more importantly, led to just kind of a more cogent offensive attack. Do you think that we can learn anything about him Sunday based on what they did over the bye? But also just how they comport themselves against, like you said, maybe the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, I think that one of the things Matt Eberflus has done that shows promise about him is that he has adjusted throughout the season. He's been flexible.
He blitzes now. He never used to blitz.
That was a problem with the previous staff philosophically.
Right.
The inflexibility, the inability to recognize when and how to adjust. Eberflus has done it during games. You've seen consistently good halftime adjustments, and he's done it throughout the season. This would be another time to do that coming out of this break.
Yeah, we'll see whether they can. I think we all agree that there's a good possibility that Sunday is bloody. And then they've got that Bills game 6 days later instead of 7 because they're playing on Christmas Eve. So we will learn a lot about them in a 6-day span. You can follow along with us as we learn. Until then, you can check out Mark, Jason, and myself on Twitter. You can pick up a Chicago Sun-Times if you've got one near you. And if not, please go to our website. It is free now and forever, it sounds like, which is a really good deal for everyone. If you like the podcast, please like, rate, and review it. If you don't like the podcast, go ahead and skip that step. Until then, he's Jason. He's Mark. I am Patrick. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.